College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by our good friends at ZipRecruiter. Hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day, and ZipRecruiter does not stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/CHT. That's right, ZipRecruiter.com/CHT. ZipRecruiter.com/CHT. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. Now that we've got you all set with ZipRecruiter, let's look at the big stories from this past weekend in college basketball as we are now within 5 weeks of Selection Sunday, and not obviously a good situation for the Blue Bloods. Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, Arizona all lose. Duke defense is continuing to disappoint. Duke gave up 81 points on Saturday to a St. John's team. While it's a talented team and it's better than its record, but the St. John's team that scored 81 against Duke still has yet to win a game in Big East play. And again, Kentucky with another defeat over the weekend against Missouri. And again, it was a hard-fought SEC game. But I start looking ahead right now. As I mentioned, we're within 5 weeks of Selection Sunday. And you think about the NCAA tournament. What type of a seed is Kentucky going to get? Think about what's remaining on this schedule in the SEC for the Cats. At Auburn, at A&M, at Arkansas, at Florida. Those alone are four difficult tasks for the Wildcats, and that doesn't include home games against both Tennessee and Alabama at Rupp Arena. The big difference I'm noticing this year for Kentucky, in addition to not having enough veterans around their freshmen, you can't play through mistakes like you used to be able to in the SEC because the league has gotten so good. And I want to take some time to single out what's going on at Washington. Mike Hopkins in year one in the Great Northwest doing an unbelievable job. Huskies, obviously, with that huge win Saturday night over Arizona. But the 2-3 zone continues to pay major dividends for Washington. Pac-12 opponents right now shooting less than 26% from three against the Huskies. And again, what else can you say about Villanova? Villanova wins back-to-back games without Phil Booth against Creighton and Seton Hall by 20 and 16, respectively. Cincinnati is 21-2 heading into this week's game against UCF. Just how good is this team of Bearcats compared to the past couple we've seen under Mick Cronin? He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Cincinnati is 21-2 overall and 10-0 in American Conference play, entering this week's game against UCF. And the head coach of the Bearcats is Mick Cronin. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Mick, your team lost a very hard-played game against Florida on December 9th, which was your last loss. What do you think your reaction would have been if somebody in the post-game press conference told you that you'd win 14 straight and now be 21-2?
I'd have been happy. I also probably would have made a lot of money. I don't think I could do that. But anyway, you know, John, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, I think you got to stay focused in coaching on whatever day it is and trying to make your team get better. Any way you can make your team better that day, be it practice, be it film, be it recruiting. These jobs are all so hard. The world, you know, ours is such a competition world in all facets. And I think you got to appreciate when your team is listening and trying to play to win. And I think that's been the key for us with this winning streak. You know, I think we have guys that are they're playing to win. You know, they're all sacrificing different things for each other. And just playing with a lot of energy and effort, and that's the most important thing, because it's hard in college basketball to match the other team's effort that's coming at you. And in our league, every game that we've played on the road, minus the Temple Blizzard, the other road games are always the other team's biggest game. Whether it's somebody gave away 2,000, Memphis gave away 2,000 tickets. UConn had their biggest home crowd of the year. So did Memphis. And it's, you know, different. So did Central Florida, celebrated their football title. So it's been hard on our guys. You know, they've had to really rise to the occasion. But we got 8 more left, and that's the challenge if you want to be an elite team.
Well, another challenge, too, for your team this year is you haven't been playing your games on campus. You've been playing your games at Northern Kentucky. What has it been like to not play with the traditional home court?
Well, you know, we still have great fans, but you know, obviously, you're not in the friendly confines of being on campus. You got to get on a bus to go play a home game, and the problem is you don't have the same student enthusiasm. So, you know, we still have students that come to the games, but we only have one student section on one baseline, not two, and getting them there is not easy, and it's been a challenge. But anyway, you know, maybe what at the end of the day, the side effect of that is maybe it's made us a little bit better. Maybe we haven't relaxed knowing that we're in our own gym. But who knows? You know, at the end of the day, talent, experience, intangibles, execution, those are the things that really go into winning.
Now, in the 2013-14 season, your team lost a couple of games in back-to-back weeks in December and then went on a run like you have right now and had an unbelievable run in January. The same thing is happening with this team. What are the biggest differences in that team and the run it went on versus the one you're coaching right now?
Well, I can't remember that far back, John. I will tell you, you know, what I try to do with our staff, try to get some doses of reality in December, and then you have the Christmas break where you can have some two-a-days, you can have more film, you don't maybe have the restrictions that you have with your practice time because your guys are out of class. I think that's the time where your team has to get better, because now you've figured out you've played enough games, you figured out kind of who you are. You probably got 10 games at least under your belt. And what you need to do to beat good teams. And you may know as a coach, but your players don't really know until you lose. They don't really know what you have to do to beat quality teams and how hard it is to get wins. Now you know, and then you start pounding nails and you get to work and you build yourself into a team that's tough enough to get quality wins. And that's what we try to do here. You know, again, those teams that have gone on runs like the one we're on now, is because we got guys who can play. You know, we got different answers. You got to have answers to go on winning streaks, and you got to have more than one answer. We're on a team with 4,000 point scorers, and that doesn't count Jaron Cumberland, who's a scorer in his own right, and is going to score probably over 1,500 points at least in his career.
Well, and the backbone, too, of obviously your program, in addition to having answers like you just mentioned, is playing great defense. And the team I referenced earlier, the 13-14 team that had Justin Jackson and Titus Rubles,
you said
before the season you felt that, before that season, that you felt that team could be the best defensive team you ever had. My question now is, what team was better defensively, that team in 13-14 or the one you're coaching now?
Well, I think this team is deeper. You know, I will tell you that we won the conference, tied with Louisville that year. in a year where the league, Memphis was great. UConn had a great team, finished fifth and won a national title, went on a run. We weren't very deep, and that team got worn down when March came around. Kilpatrick and Jackson and Rubles had to do so much for that team to win that I wasn't able to get those guys the rest. And I didn't really realize it until it happened. But I had we had no other options anyway. I think the older I get, the more I believe in those types of things that kids are they're putting out so much effort that it wears them down. And that this team we have more answers defensively. And we got guys on this team that are good players that could play more and should play more. Whether it's Nasir Brooks, Trey Scott, or Eliel Sosemi doesn't hardly get minutes for us. Keith Williams, Trevor Moore. But it's just it's hard to get those guys the minutes I want to get them. But I think that's going to be our key, John, if you're going to ask me that going forward. I think our bench is going to be the key for us.
Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bearcats 21-2 right now, 10-0 in conference play entering this week's game against UCF. Mick, you've had a different type of deal so far with the American Conference versus playing in the old Big East. How has that feel surrounding your league changed this year with the addition of Wichita State?
Tough to say because I haven't played them. So it's kind of been, was just the way it's almost like, are they even in our league? I watch them on film against some of our opponents as I'm preparing for other people. But hey, I think it added to the quality of teams in our league. I mean, it's just a fact. Now our league has gone through some injury issues this year that are just unbelievably devastating. With Wichita State started it all off with McDuffie and Shamet. Then it became Central Florida. Then it became UConn again. Now it's become SMU. So I think some teams that are definitely at least three of those teams I thought would make the NCAA tournament now because of their injuries are fighting for their life. And I think it's going to set up for a wild conference tournament probably at the end of our regular season.
Now, one thing we've learned in college basketball and how things have evolved over time is that you can have a team that's a high seed in the NCAA tournament and not play in a power league. We saw Gonzaga do it last year. They advanced to a national title game, and they played in the West Coast Conference. How is it coaching in that type of a setting like you have the past few years and you are now versus being in a league like you were in the old Big East?
Well, it's interesting because the games are just as hard, okay? Now you may not be playing as many top 25 teams. The pressure to win is immense, though, because your losses don't get explained away based on your conference, which I think happens for some other leagues. Now, some other leagues are really, really hard. There was some years in the Big East it was unbelievably hard. But the pressure to win is immense because it's still just as easy to have an off night. And the road is tough no matter who you play. And the reward may be not as great when you win, depending on your opponent. But it's the penalty is devastating if you lose to one of the teams that is struggling in your conference. So the dynamics of that you must win to try to stay where you are, the pressure is immense on your team versus being in some leagues where your losses get explained away much easier.
Now, it's easier to come through, though, in games like that on the road when you have a guy like Gary Clark on your roster. I remember the affinity that you had with Sean Kilpatrick when you coached him for 5 years, one year as a redshirt and then 4 years in college. And you talked about this time of year, how you would wake up in the middle of night lying in bed and say, how am I going to coach next year without Sean Kilpatrick? Have you had similar feelings the last couple of weeks about Gary Clark, even though we got about another 2 months in the season?
No doubt. It started in December, really started in the Cayman Islands as he was dominating. It was, he's been such a great player for us, And the older you get, I get as a coach, I think, you know, one thing that I've heard some of the Hall of Fame guys talk about that are still coaching, like a Mike Krzyzewski, I've heard him say, you know, that what keeps him excited is it's about his players and, you know, his trying to help them get where they want to go. He's probably already done everything he wants to do. And, you know, so my thing, you know, how do I help Gary Clark have a great senior year? How do I help Gary Clark become a better player? How do I help Gary Clark become an NBA player and just have an unbelievable run in his senior year? Because look what he's done for our coaching staff, our school, our university, our city. And so I've had the same type of thing, you know, thoughts with him, you know, and I have to fight a little harder with him, John, because of the rebounding. He's getting beat up quite a bit. You know, it's when you're the leading rebounder in conference, you got a big X on your with him, it's on his head. You know, he's a guy that's had his teeth knocked out. He just had a tooth embedded in his upper lip in our game against UConn the other day. You know, he takes a pretty big pounding because people struggle to defend or stop him on the offensive glass. So I fight for him, but I appreciate him. And, you know, I don't even want to think about coaching without him.
Well, and he's one of obviously four All-League players that you have this year, along with Kyle Washington, Jacob Evans, and Jaron Cumberland. But your point guard situation is obviously something that feels like it's been fluid from an offensive perspective. Kane Broome was a little bit more efficient, obviously, against UConn on Saturday. How much is that position really an X factor moving forward as you kind of have went with this hybrid look with Kane Broome and Justin Jennifer?
Well, the consistency, I think, that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. What those guys provide for us is quickness, and I mean full court defensive quickness, and all it trying to keep 40 minutes of ball pressure on the other team at the point of attack, and that's where your disruption starts, and it has to start for us. And if we can't disrupt our opponents, I believe that's the key to why people shoot a high percentage or a low percentage based on their comfort level. So, you know, those guys have been committed to that and to being to working really hard on the front of our pressure and our front of our defense. There's been games where they've provided us with points, obviously some games where they haven't provided us with points, but that's okay. It's not really how I judge them. I want them to play great defense, take care of the basketball. You know, I think there's a time for them guys to score when they get their opportunities. Obviously, Kane's more of a scorer. Justin's a very good shooter when he gets his time and space. And we have great confidence in him. But they're getting the job done that we're asking them to do. And it's a big part of our winning.
Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bearcats 21-2 overall, 10-0 right now in American Conference play. Now, Mick, you've been in a situation where you've been at Cincinnati a long time and you've been coaching a long time, and really for that entire stretch, Rick Pitino was the head coach of Louisville. He's a mentor of yours, and he's not this season. What is it like for you right now to be home watching Louisville turning on a game and not seeing Coach Pitino on the bench?
Terrible. You know, the guy's my friend, so you know what he's had to go through. Just it's been tough, but nobody is going to feel sorry for him. I know that, and he knows that. So he'll bounce, but he'll bounce back. He always does. He's had an unbelievable career, and, you know, I'm just fortunate that he's been my friend and been able to do the things that he's been able to do for my career and 31 other guys that are head coaches out there right now. So, for me, it gives me somebody I used to be bothering him if I wanted to ask him a question about basketball, run something by him. Now, I just got to make sure I catch him in between his workouts. He's been doing two-a-days. But, yeah, it's just tough. You know, now David Padgett is a guy I recruited, is a great guy, so I'm rooting for David. But, it's you know, that whole situation's been tough for a lot of people that have been involved in it. But, you know, obviously Coach Pitino's been, you know, he's a personal friend of mine as well as a great mentor to me. So he gave a great talk to our team after the South Florida game that – our guys to this day are still talking about the things he said. and things that we need to do to try to achieve greatness. And it was something I appreciate that he did for our team. He traveled to meet with us, and I think it's helped us, and I think it'll continue to help us. But just a tough situation for everybody with that deal.
Now, you worked for Coach Pitino, and before that you worked for Bob Huggins at Cincinnati. For this specific team, what are the biggest elements you took from each of those guys that you see kind of permeate through the way the Cincinnati team competes?
Oh, well, I think people don't realize that I think all the great coaches, whether it's Coach Huggins, Coach Izzo, I throw one at you, Mark Few, guys out there, you know, obviously we just spoke about Coach Pitino. Your guys better play really hard, and winning better come first. You know, and I think that's why Coach Huggins is a Hall of Fame coach. He understands those two things are the most important things. Now, I don't think that would be any different if it was coming from a guy like Bill Self, who's won 12 straight titles. I don't care how many pros you have. You got to play defense. You got to play hard, and your guys got to play to win. Team sports are about winning, or you don't win. If it's about individual stuff, you'll achieve individual stuff maybe, but you're definitely not going to win. So I would think those are the things that they sound really general, and it's like, wow, you didn't say a whole lot there. But I promise you, any coach out here will tell you, in our sport, getting guys to stay focused on winning and playing hard enough to win games is not easy. And it's tough when you have young players. So, what I would tell you is, like Coach Huggins and I used to talk about back in the 90s, is trying to stay older and trying to have depth. That way you can make sure that your guys are always going to play hard, or they're not going to play, because there's other guys on the team. And that older guys, returning players, are trained, and they know how to win games.
Well, and that's ironic, because when you look at the three teams right now that are in prime position to be number one seeds in the NCAA tournament, Villanova, Purdue, and Virginia, the common attribute in all three is they're three very old teams. Now, Cincinnati also has a chance to be a high seed in the NCAA tournament based on how things look right now. At what point do you start broaching that subject with your team? Because when you get to a point in the season where every game matters like it does right now, that's something you live with every day.
Every day, buddy. It's already been broached with our team. They know our journey. They know our plight. They know how we've been disrespected by the committee. Our losses don't get explained away like others. You know, Matt Painter, by the way, is a very close friend of mine. Not that we talk every day, but we have tremendous mutual respect for each other. He's somebody that I think has just got an unbelievable amount of class, aside from being a great coach. Now you look at his team, they have two losses, and so do we. Now, whose losses are more challenging? You know, now before today, Florida and Xavier were ranked. I think theirs were Tennessee and Western Kentucky.
So, no question.
So my question to you is, now they've been ranked way ahead of us for a long time.
No, I get what you're saying. Now, people can say, well, the Big Ten, is better than the American, but the Big Ten
now
is only looking at four bids, and the American's looking at four bids.
That's my point to you. Now, so Michigan State and Wichita State, now obviously, Michigan State's a great team. They got NBA players, but their RPIs hasn't been higher than Wichita State all year. So, so my point to answer your question, John, is we understand our plight. You know, here we're usually, our losses don't get explained away, and we know it. And your question was, when do I broach that to my team? My team knows that. They know we don't expect the benefit of the doubt. You want a high seed. You don't have the luxury that some other people have. They can lose, and people say, oh, yeah, but they still have these NBA players on their team. And it's just perception becomes reality. And so the perception for us is not favorable with some of the way we're talked about nationally. We're not the media darling that some other programs are. And that's okay. It is what it is. And that's our fault. You have to win in March for that to happen. I think, but Jay Wright's done it, and they don't get, to me, they don't get the respect that they deserve nationally. The run he's been on for the last 3 years is unbelievable, but people want to talk more about who's going to get drafted and who's got NBA players. And Villanova's got, I mean, the run they've been on, John, for 3 years, unbelievable, the teams that Jay Wright's putting on the floor.
Well, for seven straight years, you've had a team that's been in the NCAA tournament. One of those years, 2012, you reached the Sweet 16. You're 21-2. You've had a good sampling of this team. Is this team right now the best team that you've had at Cincinnati?
We'll see. You know, we'll see the draw. You know, and I would tell you a lot of coaches may say that they may have taken – it'd be interesting to see what Mark Few says. You know, he made a Final Four, but he's had so many great teams. What was his best team? You know, it may not be the team that goes the furthest, you know, at the end of the day. So right now, all I care about is trying to keep these guys, get these guys improved and keep them healthy and get them ready. Hopefully we can go on a finish up strong and then go on a run. And because what matters is how far you go at the end of the day, not who, you know, if you were better than this another team 5 or 6 years ago. Being healthy in March, John, I think is important for all of us. You know, I think I would tell you, to, not to dodge your question, but we've had some great teams 4, 5, 6 years ago. I thought that could have went on runs. We were not healthy in March, and that's just the way it is. You got to be healthy. Obviously, luck of the draw. Who gets beat before you? Who knows? But, you know, I like the potential of our team, and I mentioned this earlier, John. I think the key for us, besides staying healthy, is development of our bench. And I think it matters come March. You're going to have some guys step up and make different plays at different times and get contribution. For us, we can't, outside of our main four leading scorers, we're going to have to get some contributions from some other people to go on a run.
You know, Mick, I'm going to close with this. I was interviewing Jim Calhoun once, and he talked about how the first thing he thought about in 1999 after he won a national championship was winning another one. How much did coaches have to fight that thought when you have a team that might be good enough to win six straight games in March and just focus on the task at hand when you know ultimately your team might be capable of just that?
Well, I think it just shows you, like, you know, first of all, when you say Coach Calhoun, I think maybe the most competitive guy I ever coached against. And that's saying a lot, because I've coached against probably multiple Hall of Fame coaches and national championship coaches. So that's but that's what made him so great, his competitive nature to win every game and to try to win title after title. And that's what drove him. But I do think, you know, you got to try to enjoy it a little bit. I'm trying to enjoy my run with these guys because they're such good guys and make it about them as much as I can. You know, like we talked about Gary Clark earlier, and you can't think ahead to fight. Like you said, you know, I'm not thinking ahead at all to what could happen. Trying to have a great practice today and make sure that we talk about some things socially after practice for that young people need to hear. And focus on each day, one day at a time. Because if you don't, your team's not going to, John. You have to talk and stay focused on one day at a time. If you want, and then maybe your team will. It's still not a guarantee.
All right, Mick. Well, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck this week. Stay healthy, and look forward to staying connected down the stretch.
You got it, buddy. Thank you, John.
We'd like to thank Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save save you money and time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Chris Freeman, and it's, John, chances for the Mountain West to be a two-bid league with Nevada and Boise State? Look, I've seen Nevada play the last couple of weeks. Nevada, to me, is an NCAA tournament team, win, lose, or draw in the MWC conference tournament. And what can I say about Boise State? I thought Boise State won a very important game Saturday night against UNLV. It'll be interesting to see what happens down the stretch for the Broncos. Our next question comes from AU fan, and it's, John, is Auburn a potential one seed? And it's interesting you bring this up. I wrote in my column this week that I felt that Auburn had the best chance to get a one seed out of the other teams competing for that spot. And the other teams competing for that fourth one seed are Xavier, Michigan State, and Duke. Because let's face it, Villanova, Virginia, Purdue all look like locks to be one seeds at this point. But let's look right now at the chemical makeup of those other team schedules. Michigan State can move the needle next weekend against Purdue. There's no doubt about that. But there's not enough opportunities, in my opinion, in the Big Ten for Michigan State to play their way onto the one line. Duke has lost at Boston College. Duke has lost to NC State. Duke has lost to St. John's. I don't see the Blue Devils getting to the one line. And Xavier, while obviously still very capable, is a team that was fortunate to beat St. John's, fortunate to beat Georgetown last week. Xavier still has to host Villanova. They have to host Seton Hall. They go to Butler. They go to Creighton. I think when it's all said and done, the fourth number one seed in the 2018 NCAA tournament may indeed be the Auburn Tigers, coached by Bruce Pearl. And our final question comes from Matt Modlansky. And it's, John, what are your thoughts on Seton Hall? Look, I thought Seton Hall was extremely competitive against Villanova on Sunday. And I still think Seton Hall, in the right situation, can be a second weekend team. This core group of players has been together in multiple NCAA tournaments. You can't take that for granted when you're forecasting things. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the hop factor. Mike Hopkins is going to win Pac-12 Coach of the Year, and Washington is going to go back to the NCAA tournament. What can you say about the buzz right now surrounding the Huskies in the Great Northwest? Nugget number two, Howland howling. Mississippi State has now won more games than it did all of last season. It's only February 3rd. Mississippi State under Ben Howland, 17-6 overall, 5-5 in the SEC. A huge game this week against Alabama. Nugget number three, honoring the process. How about Jock Landale, the All-American candidate from St. Mary's? He averages 2.1 points and 0.9 rebounds in 5 minutes as a freshman. 3 years later, one of the best players in college basketball. Nugget number four, not getting defensive. Duke is giving up an average of 75.7 points per game in 15 games this season against high major opponents. That includes two games against Pitt, who averages 53 in two defeats against the Blue Devils. Nugget number five, making strides. Cincinnati's Gary Clark has already made 15 three-point shots this season. It's only the first week of February. Made 14 last year and zero as a freshman from long distance. That, my friends, is player development. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Start Tuesday night, Rupp Arena, Kentucky hosts Tennessee. Wednesday, a couple of big ones, Ohio State at Purdue, Texas A&M at Auburn, big game for both teams. And then Thursday, Duke at North Carolina, and then UCLA travels to Arizona. We'd like to thank Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.